Okay. Mark, where are we at? Actually, I think we are in verse 18. All right, so let's see where we're at on the slide. We've got to go back almost to the end here. Okay, so this is what we're going to see here in these coming themes. That Christ is the supreme example of love and faithful service to God, and all mature Christians can also serve as role models in this regard. Suffering will come, but through faith it can be met with joy. Christians need to keep making progress in their lives, and the gospel is not individualistic. So a lot of the things that we're already seeing, we're going to continue to see. So there's a ton of overlap. We're going to start in verse, I guess it's the tail end of 18. And let's go to 26. Who would like to read? We'll go ahead and say 18 to 26. Go ahead, George. No, sorry, chapter 1.
What then? Only that in every way, whether pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation of hope. I will not be ashamed in it, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed for both directions. Having the desire to be part and be in Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that with proud confidence in me, they abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves and the word of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come or remain absent, I will hear from you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the sake of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your
okay, let's go ahead and stop there.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So I want to. There's three key things in this section that we just heard. The first one is deliverance. The second one is to live is Christ, to die is gain. And his third one is he presents two options, and he says he doesn't really know which one to choose. I think all these are interrelated when it comes to what Paul is saying here. But the first one, I want to talk about this deliverance part that he mentions in verse 19. For you know, through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now, we know Paul's in prison here. And we also know that he's going to make more references to this. He's made some references already. But some people think that this deliverance here is talking about his deliverance from prison. And some people think it's his ultimate deliverance, his deliverance into salvation. And I think this is a very interesting conundrum. Because we like to treat one like the other one. I'm pretty sure here that Paul is talking about his salvation. But when we see our situations, especially our difficult situations, in Paul's case, this is prison, we We tend to think, oh, well, God's going to deliver me out of this situation. And that may not necessarily be true. You might be stuck in that, depending on what your situation is, you might be stuck in it for a very, very long time. Because maybe God has a purpose for you being there. And obviously, Paul, I don't know particularly why Paul's in prison this time. Probably for the same reason he's always in prison, for going against the crowd, causing waves. The Romans, they did this quite often. They did not like it when people caused trouble, which is ultimately why Pontius Pilate decides to crucify Jesus, despite the fact that he found no wrong in Jesus, because it was easier for him to kill Jesus and put down the crowd than let the crowd continue to riot. Because if the crowd continued to riot, he probably would have been killed for a failure to keep the peace. And so Paul, who's probably doing nothing illegally wrong, is probably in jail just for causing disruptions between him and the Jews in the area. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think that the Bible is telling us that we're going to be delivered from our certain difficult situations, or it's specifically talking about our salvation here? Yeah. Go ahead, Sam.
Mm-hmm. Just like the Old Testament is there for our learning. God isn't always saying that it's going to be a breeze, but just like joy and certain things. You should have that, but basically you should have that because you have peace. I'm not saying that everything's going to be rose to me.
Mm-hmm.
If it is his salvation, where's his confidence in his current state?
That's a good question. I think Paul is okay with his current state.
But then he wouldn't be delivered. He would not be in his current state.
Joe.
I agree with what Martin said. In the context here, and I know you know this not funny at all, but in context here, it seems to be talking about in verse 20, whether by life or by death. It seems that he's talking about his current event, the current life event that he's involved in right now today. And that's one of the things that he's cupping their prayers for, to deliver us from that current life event that he's involved in today. And the word salvation, I'm not just saved from me, I'm just saved by Jesus from my sin. So, deliverance or salvation can be a couple of things. But I tend to think that in the church we always think about being a Christian, living as a Christian, as spiritual matters. Paul's been a Christian for a very long time, well respected by his brethren, and where they wouldn't even read his letters. So I don't think personally that his comments is related to a spiritual deliverance. That would be, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a real weakness. If you're that messed up, if your prayer is for deliverance spiritually, it could be a problem. I think that it's got to do with a physical deliverance from his current life alone that he's been involved in right now.
Yeah. And I can see what you're arguing, and I don't necessarily think it's wrong. It's just when you look at the rest of the section, he goes on to this being delivered in Christ. So he shifts from his personal thing, which he brings up, and starts talking about his conflict of.
Yeah. And that's his final writing. Doesn't involve. Mm-hmm. Writing. Yeah.
I think it's intentional here. Of course he wants prayers for his physical state, but he's not really writing them on behalf of himself. Because that's also not... I mean, while Paul might occasionally mention things like that, it's not his style to focus on himself. what? His imprisonment. Yes, that's. I'm saying that there's two ideas of what's being talked about here. His first one is that it's deliverance from prison, and the second one is his ultimate deliverance into salvation. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the other two parts come into play. To live is Christ and to die is gain, and then he's inflicted between the two. Mm-hmm. I'm not really saying. I lean more towards the way, but I see the opposite as well. It could be both.
If it were both, we couldn't argue.
We're not really arguing about it.
The next argument is better. I can get my seat though, because when he's talking about when he's in prison, in order, I mean, there are kind of three choices. They can let him go, they can keep him in prison, or they can kill him.
He could run away. He's house arrested. He could run away. I like this idea that it is both. And it fits well as a good illustration. Especially what he talks about here in verse 20. As in the eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed, but full of courage. Because obviously, he's in prison for a reason. And my guess is to keep him quiet. And to Paul, I imagine that has to be a huge shame. Is because he knows that he can't stay quiet. And so he's probably feeling like he's not able to fulfill his duty as a Christian or a missionary or someone that's going to share the gospel. Footnote in my Bible that says the tension between temporal deliverance and eternal salvation is in fact evidenced through this passage. So he's basically saying that you could see both in what Paul is writing right here. Okay? Any other thoughts on the argument? No. That's why I said arguments. Willie.
I think really the main part of this verse is
don't want to go that far yet, Bonnie. Go ahead, Bonnie. And this is going to be a forerunner of what's going to come in chapter 4 when he starts talking about the two women. Okay, so let's go to the second topic on this subject. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. So obviously he's saying here is that he wants to go to heaven. And that is his reward, as being a faithful Christian. But he's saying that there are great benefits to also being alive and serving Christ that way. As long as you're doing it, yes. So he himself, number 2 and 3, are conflicted. And I think this is a good confliction of what we often see in death. We see that, especially death among those who are Christians, we see that they have received a reward, but to us it's somewhat of a loss. But here he's using it in terms of his salvation, or their salvation, that you need to keep working while you're working. Any thoughts on that? Or we all agree with this? Yay! That made that one easy. But I can definitely understand what he's saying here. I have the desire to go and see God, but I don't actually think I'm ready to go see God yet. Maybe when I'm Herman's age. Herman, I think you're... I'm just using you as an example because I know you're about to turn 84. And so... Do you relate to these words? Do you find that you need to keep working, or do you think it's time for you to eventually, that your time is dwindling to an end?
Well, and I am rather Paul was. I'm ready either way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit that I quite often say, Lord, what else do you want me to do? If you want me to do something, I'll do it. But I'd rather have these aches and pains of the body and the ineptitude that occurs in the mind to be dissolved. And I know that'll take place, but I'm content until he says, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to keep working for me, and I can see the way.
Yeah, and I agree that you have to keep working to the end, but Paul says he's conflicted in whether or not he wants to keep working or just hope that it ends.
I'm not sure that he meant that literally, though.
Mm. I don't know how to explain that. Oh, yeah. He says his desire is to depart with and be with Christ, which he sees as a far better term. Well, I see what you're saying. It's not really like this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. It's like these are two good things, and I want this other one better. But I recognize once that other one comes, the first one's going to stop completely. Yeah, Sam.
And I mean, you part of the life said that you never stop working, and even when you quote unquote stop working, you're going out whatever.
Going out what? Oh, door knocking, okay.
There's still stuff to talk to others. Because, like Herman, I thought a lot, even in the past, in, you know, just from lessons and experience and everything else. And a lot of that is lost, which I believe is why a lot of the young Christian population has shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendously, because
Yes, all there is.
Yeah, I'll get you in a second.
Great. Has done great, you know, doing what they're doing. But still, the Bible says that I'll teach the gospel to everybody preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's important to keep the young population involved in that.
And Paul doesn't make this argument, but we also have the loss of losing who that person is, too.
Right.
And that's, I think, kind of what you were saying. I'm going to do Joe first.
I love the feeling of invincibility that he expresses here. Amen. Regardless of whether I live or I die, it's an expression of invincibility. And for a Christian, that's security. And you know, that's security no matter what happens. Whether I'm in prison or not in prison, the spiritual gifts, the spiritual blessings, the spiritual blessings of the brethren and their prayers and cares for him, Christ cares and concerns for him, salvation he has for him, or whether he just dies and goes on. He's invincible in that way, and it's a great life.
I didn't look at it that way. I see vulnerability here. Because Paul is showing that he's obviously conflicted with two thoughts. Yes.
Back to our argument.
You're gonna cause trouble for me this whole class, aren't you? Mm-hmm.
And so, on the other part of that, we talk like sometimes I think we think like we have a choice. And it does us no good whether it be good to die and go to heaven or to continue on. We just continue on.
Okay. Not an argument. I'll get to you a second, George. Paul's in prison for a reason, and he could have accelerated that by doing what... Well, I think Paul's case is a little bit interesting here, because in Paul's case, he's in prison for doing the work. And so, he can keep on keeping on, which will probably hasten his execution. Or he could kind of settle back for a chance to get out, and then also keep on keeping on. So it's kind of, I think it's one of those catch-22s in Paul's case. I'm going to go to George first. Christian candles?
Yeah, Nero lighting up Christian
candles. Oh, okay, sorry, go ahead.
People being sawn in half, people hanging on crosses, upside down. So the shame is real. They were trying to get people to, you know, reject talk about who fits his diligence is all the Lord we do. When he realizes, he says, look, either way, I'm good. No, nothing you can do can hurt. So that sense of invincibility, I think, is a shame part of it. It's really big.
Yeah.
I have, even since I was a young man in Christ, I've always thought if I could be like any of the New Testament Bible books, it would be Paul. Because he's so positive, so courageous, and he's willing to do whatever it takes no matter what. And he doesn't run off because he's mad at someone. You know, he faces everything head on. But his positive spiritual attitude always comes out in all of his writings. And I think that's part of the reason why the brethren took care of him while he was in prison. I mean, prison was a hardship for a lot of reasons, but he didn't have what he needed. He didn't have food. He didn't have clothing. He didn't have the things he needed. And so the brethren would bring it to him and make sure he had food and clothing and was taken care of while he was in prison. He always appreciated it. But his whole attitude, and so like Daniel said, these things are these things are written so that we can get some personal benefit. Should be able to get some personal benefit from it. And his positive attitude, whether you live or die, means something to me.
Joe, you and I have totally different outtakes on Paul. I love Paul too, but I do not think he's a positive person. I think he's a very realistic person. And while I think he has a special attachment to the church in Philippi that he doesn't have in Corinth. I think Corinth is a perfect example of how Paul is a very blunt person.
That's one of the things I like about
him. Yeah.
But there were issues in Corinth that he had to deal with very specifically. He wasn't afraid to do it, man. I think
I think it was necessary for that church. All right, we'll go with that. What do you think that was?
Okay, no idea. I've heard a lot of things.
Okay.
I've heard the eyes.
That was his wife. Her name was Grace.
I'm not saying he was a negative person. And he does have warming qualities. I think Paul is a blunt instrument to sharing God's grace. And it's exactly what some people need. And while you can see that as positive, I don't necessarily see it as positive because I've been normally told it's not one. Get to the point without sticking. Oh, okay. That's interesting. I like that. Alright, we're sidetracked here. I don't want to be that person that goes off on tangents. So here he goes on to say, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So he's saying, to be here, my being here is helpful or a benefit to you, whether or not I want to be with God. So this is back what he says, both are good, and I desire this one more, but I'm happy to do what I continue to do. And whether or not he has a choice in that matter, he's going to keep pushing forward as long as he's here on this earth. Which I think is a great thing to do. I mean, like Mark said, you don't know when this time is going to come. So just keep on keeping on, and eventually you'll receive that reward. Even if you don't receive your deliverance from your imprisonments or whatever your problem is. We're going to start in 27 next week. And we should be able to finish chapter 1 next week. So yay! Unless I keep getting these hard questions from Mark. Mark, 27. Yeah, you have a question. Okay. Let's close out in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sever your